Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we love you, we need you. And so, Lord, we just ask that you continue to speak to our hearts and minds. From the worship to the word, may you be glorified and may your people be edified, Lord. We love you, we thank you, we bless you. Speak to our hearts now. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's life, it leads, it keeps, it guards, and it talks. What a powerful word the word of God is. Thank you for the blueprint, the map on how to live, to forgive, how to think, how to act, how to speak, how to walk, how to talk. Thank you for your wisdom. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on us. We need you today more than we did yesterday. God, we bless you, we love you, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, as we continue on the message of the Good Shepherd, the good thing, Lord willing, is whatever we don't get to this week, we'll jump right into it next week. I want to thank Brother John for the powerful altar call this morning and allowing us just to come and just speak to the faithful God. I don't know how people go through life without him. I guess that's why the liquor store, there's liquor stores on every corner, because you got to do something to stay self-medicated. Amen. If you don't have that relationship with the true and living God, you got to find something. And the drug abuse is so high because people are looking for an escape and they're running from God and not to God. So I thank God for his word this morning. We pick it up at verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. So we're going to come back and unpack the door. We're still doing the Good Shepherd, but I couldn't read 10 without reading 9. Couldn't read verse 10 without reading verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. The door in the Greek, he's the portal. He's the opportunity. He's the opening. It also means he's the closure. Somebody say amen. It says he's the door to the kingdom of heaven, the way to salvation. That's all broken down in the Greek word for door. Let me tell you again. Jesus said, I'm the portal. I'm the opportunity. I'm the opening, the closure, the door to the kingdom of heaven, the way to salvation. Jesus is the door. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to guess in this life. I am the door. By if any man enter in, that's mankind, he shall be saved. Underline any. We talked about it in the men's meeting this morning. It is an exclusive club. It doesn't even make any sense. It's like a paradox. It's an oxymoron. It's an exclusive club, but anybody can join. Amen. That's how exclusive it is, that anybody can be a part of it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If any man, any person, any mankind enter in, he shall be saved. He shall be rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. They have no power. They have no victory. We transition right into the presence of God because of Jesus Christ, because he's the door. He's the opening. He's the opportunity. He's the way to salvation. He's the way to the kingdom of God. All explained in the Greek word door. If anybody enter in, he shall be saved. Thank you, Lord, for the exclusive club that's open to everyone. How do you pronounce it, son?
Exclusivity.
Thank you, son. I appreciate that. I already tried once. And he says, and she'll go in and out and find pasture. And that word pasture means in the Greek that all your needs shall be met with Christ. You just go with Christ. You live in Christ. You dwell with Christ and all your needs are met. Not only do you get saved, but he takes care of everything. As Sister Kathy would say, we might not get everything that we want, but our needs are met. Sometimes we get what we want, and we're very spoiled, this culture, boy, because we want everything. And the word says the more we get, the more we want. We're never satisfied. But Jesus said he'll give us our needs. sometimes we get our wants. And this is what troubles me in today's culture, society, that Satan has done a masterful job of making people think they can go to heaven or to rest in peace apart from Jesus Christ, who's the Prince of Peace. Jesus didn't say there would be peace. Jesus said, apart from him, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yes, yes.
Let me say that again. People want to go and get to heaven without going through the door. They can't humble themselves. They can't. Their head's so big they can't fit through the door. Because they can't humble themselves and receive Christ and come in through Christ. And the enemy's done a masterful job. Because he's the father of lies. He's a liar from the beginning. He got kicked out because his head was so big it couldn't fit into heaven. He said, I want to be like the Most High. God said, well, I created you. God said, no way. And he kicked him out. And so he's down here now and he's created us, or well, he's influenced us and tricked us into thinking that our head could be so big, just like him, that we can get to heaven another way. Jesus said, I'm the door. You're not coming in. You're not coming in. And it breaks my heart because you can't convince people that Jesus Christ is Lord. So families, we go into 2020. Let's just keep praying for those that God would soften the heart, because at one time, I have to be honest, somebody couldn't convince me either. Amen. Until I had the encounter with the true and living God. So pray that they would have that encounter with the true and living God. And I don't think any of us are different. Before we came to Christ, we thought it was all about us. And then we understand that Jesus is the door. He's the one that saves. Look at verse 10. He says, the thief comes not. And here's part of the deception, is that the enemy has flip-flopped it. Where we would, here, this interesting comparison right here, we got the thief and then we have Christ. One comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and everybody wants to run that way. One comes to give us life and that more abundant. And we say, no, I don't want that. Are you serious? He says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So look at this. Look, I looked up the word in the Greek, abundant. You look at this is what Jesus said he wants to give us. Abundant means superior, supreme, extraordinary. You have an extraordinary life in Christ. It's uncommon. It's excellent. It's remarkable. And it says an advantage. You and I have an advantage in Christ. So why? And then we look at the thief. It says he comes to steal. He comes to steal your soul and your eternal paradise with Christ. Steal your peace and give you confusion. To kill your God-given purpose and calling on your life. To destroy, which means to render useless or to ruin, or actually means to destroy. To destroy your relationship with Christ, your family, your church family, and your friends. To have you focus on selfishness, arrogance, pride, and argue and ruin every relationship you have. And then to destroy your witness as a Christian and a disciple of Christ. God help us. We have that comparison, God offering life, the enemy offering everything, including death. We look at our world today and the world, and we talked about it this morning, how the world likes darkness. They didn't the light shine and they didn't even want to receive the light because their hearts were dark. Pray that God would illuminate the light of Christ into their heart. That's why we need to be praying and fasting every morning. We can't take a day off, family. We can't. Even when you go on vacation, you're not on vacation. The enemy doesn't take a break. We don't either. Amen. Wake up every morning praying and fasting for your family, for your friends, for the church, for the unsaved boss, for the unsaved coworkers, for your siblings, for your parents, for your kids. For your grown kids, don't take a day off. And remember, the same thing stands in 2019 and 2020. Don't come to me complaining about your wife, your kids, your nobody, if you're not praying and fasting for them every day. Amen. That's going to be my first question. Are you praying and fasting for them? No, Pastor, I ain't got time for that. They tripping. No, you tripping. Ain't nothing I can do. Don't come talk to your parents. Don't tell me, just, are you praying and fasting for them? You know my kids are tripping. Are you praying? No, you the one tripping. You the one come to church and you the one saved. You the one got the information from the word. You the one got the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God. You tripping because you're not using it. It stands in 2020, family. We can talk, but you know, I'm going to cut you off. If you're not praying and fasting, not praying and fasting for your wife, why would you even talk about it, right? Because God changes things, and when you're praying and fasting for others, look at, here's another year gone by, pretty much. And I'm talking 365 days that some of us have committed to prayer, to the Proverbs, to the wisdom of God, and our lives have been revolutionized. It is not the same. The growth that has taken place in your life and will take place in your life, it is remarkable. It is extraordinary. It is uncommon, and it gives you an advantage. I'm telling you, family, we got to get in this word and we got to stay in. As I say, we don't know what a day might bring, but we know that God brings the day. Yes. And either this is true and it's real or it's not, or we might as well do something else on Sunday mornings. If you're not going to live Monday through Saturday, then we need to do something else on Sunday mornings. This is just to get you refreshed and renewed and refueled and then get you back out there. And try something new this Wednesday. Read your Bible. Because we're not coming, because you're going to get your butt kicked, I'm telling you. By Tuesday, boy, you jacked up. We need Wednesday, but we don't have it this week, okay? So you got to do it at home, all right? And if you've been hanging out with family for the past 2 weeks, don't laugh, Jerry, but if you've been hanging out with family for the past 2 weeks, on Tuesday, you wiped out. Y'all know we love our family, but y'all know they can be something else. Let me tell you what happened in my house on Christmas, all right? Huh? I'm telling you, family, this is what we need. And we got to take it seriously. Every day, you don't take a day off. You can't. Can't take a day off. The enemy doesn't take a day off. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And we have to be discerning, wisdom of God, Holy Spirit filled, so we can see the enemy. The word says that the wise person sees the trouble coming and goes and gets out of the way. But a fool keeps going and engages it. God, give me the wisdom not to be that fool, to engage some foolishness. Amen? Okay, look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Underline that. Love Jesus for being the good shepherd. Gives his life for the sheep. He demonstrated that. Dominique, take us to Luke 23, 39. I say Luke 23 and 39. Christ laid his life down for us. I just want to highlight this. I'm all over the place this morning, but I'm telling you, God, speak to your people. What did I say? Luke 23. Come on, Pastor, pull it together. Thank you. In 39. So this is Christ on the cross, and two criminals are next to him. Verse 39, and one of the criminals which were hanged pointed his finger in his face and said, if you Christ, save yourself and us. The other one said, verse 40, the other one answering and rebuked him saying, shouldn't you be repenting right now? Shouldn't you be repenting and asking for forgiveness instead of pointing your finger in God's face, accusing and blaming God for your circumstances? Oh, I paraphrase that, Sister Tara. You see, people think they're going to point their finger in God's face. It's going to be God's fault. It's not God's fault. You are where you are because of your choices. I remember working in juvenile hall, and the chaplain would get offended where guys would say, you know, I think God put me in jail so I could learn a lesson. He said, stop right there. God ain't put you in. You out there robbing, stealing, gangbanging, acting. Your choices put you in jail. God ain't put you in here. Get that. Stop trying to point your finger in God's face. I'm here because so I could. No, you're not. You're here because you're out robbing and stealing and lying and cheating. That's why you're in here. God ain't got nothing to do with that. Stop putting that on God. Now we know that God will cause you to, you know, your sin will send you places, and God can reach you while you're there, but God's not the reason you're there. Here is this guy trying to tell Jesus, you're the reason, and you should do something about it. No, God said, the other one said, you need to be repenting. Verse 41, he said, and justly we receive the due reward of our deeds. We're here because of what we did. This man ain't did nothing wrong. Then verse 42, the conversion takes place. He said, Lord, remember me. Underline that, Lord. And then you have to ask yourself, who is the Lord of your life? Who's the Lord of your heart? Come on, somebody, let's get deep just for a minute. Let's get deep. Let's go to the deep end of the pool. And you got to ask yourself, and I would say that most Christians are the Lord of their own life. Amen. Those who would profess to be Christians, Jesus isn't Lord of their life. I can't get one amen, but I'm going to say it anyway. Jesus, you're the Lord. You do what you want to do. You don't even think about God when you do it. Nobody in here, but I'm just saying the other people that profess Christ. He said, Lord, that shows a conversion is taking place. Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. I'm not just a Christian. It's another level when you say Jesus is the Lord of my life. And for those of us that are business owners, Jesus is the Lord of my business. Ooh. So that means all your decisions should be ethical with integrity because Jesus is the Lord of your business. If not, just call it, well, this is my business. It ain't, well, this is God. God gave me this. What, well, you're not doing anything that the Lord would tell you to do with. Who's the Lord of your life? Who's the Lord of your home? Because your home sure don't look like it. It's a difference. We got surface where you just a Christian. But then when he says, Lord, are you saying that Jesus is the Lord of your life? Is Jesus the Lord of your tongue? Is Jesus the Lord of your thoughts? See, it's a whole, he said, Lord, remember me. That's why he converted right there, Brother Clarence. Sister Wanda, he converted right there. He said, Lord. He said, I humble myself under you. And then Jesus didn't say, well, go get baptized. He didn't say, do three Hail Marys. He didn't say, you got to speak in tongues. He didn't say, you got to work for this. He said, today, you're going to be with me. Take it to the next one. Amen. He said, I guarantee you that today, you're going to be with me in paradise. It's not about works. It's about the grace of God. And you got to receive it because you can't work for it. Amen. You can't, you just have to receive it because it says for Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are we saved through faith. The grace comes before the faith. Without the grace, we can't even trust in God. He told him that Jesus being the Lord of your life makes all the difference. I'm not saying you're not saved, but I'm saying you're still playing in the sandbox when you should be teaching the word. Amen. You're still on the milk when you should be eating the meat. That's all I'm saying. It's, you know, in 2020, let's go to a buffet and eat some meat as opposed to going to the dairy and just drinking milk. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The milk gets old. You can't survive off of milk. Not at this age. It makes you really weak. No baptism, no works, no three Hail Marys, no speaking in tongues. Christ told the criminal, based upon your profession of faith and trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, thank you, Lord. Don't let people make you think. We talked about it this morning, too. How you got, I'm going to get myself together. You stop. The enemy's done a masterful job of lying to us, making us think we got to do something to get saved, to come to Christ. You can't do anything. You just have to receive it. Going to be praying that God would give us people to disciple this year. Because folks are just, they don't understand the word. They don't read the word. They don't understand it. You accept Christ and then you get discipled and you understand that you confessing and repenting and asking for forgiveness every day. Somebody say amen. Oh, every day we're asking for forgiveness because of something I said, thought, or did. Lord, have mercy. Okay, let's go back to John. And let's, before we get back to John 10, go to John 8 so we understand what we're dealing with. It's a masterful deception. God help us. And it's just, I don't know, most people don't want to understand the truth. We get it, but it's not because of them. It's who they've been influenced by. So try not to be upset with people, but just pray for them. Don't engage in foolishness. Pray from a distance if you need to. And we were talking to him, ask the Holy Spirit, God, how do I talk? How do I handle this? From your wife to your kids, to your coworkers, to your boss, to your employees, to the students at school, to your peers at wherever you go, God, teach me how to discern and talk from a spirit-filled Christian and not just a filthy flesh Christian. Because people can get on your nerves and you want to go off, but that's not what we've called to be ambassadors for Christ. We represent Christ at the highest level. But then look at John 8 and 44. Oh, my gosh. And just remember that thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Christ has come to give us life and that more abundantly. Jesus tells the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And dwelt not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you don't trust me. That's what we're dealing with. That's the deception. Look at the enemy. He was a liar from the beginning, and he is the father of lies. So no wonder why that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God comes to give us life and life more abundantly, and we'll lean more to the kill, steal, and destroy because the lie sounds so good. The counterfeit looks so good. And it feeds the flesh and it feeds what we want to hear. God help us. Family, know what we're engaged with. It is spiritual warfare at the highest level. That's why we need to study, pray, seek God daily. All right, let's see. Let's almost wrap this up. Verse 12, but he that is a hireling, underline hireling. A hireling is a wage worker. He's a hired servant. A hireling is different from the shepherd, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he does not care about the sheep. He's just hired to be there. He's there because he has his hand out. The shepherd is there because his hand is in the heart of God. Let me say it again. The hireling is there with his hand out. What can I get? What can I get? What can I get? The shepherd is there because his hand is in the heart of God. And he's saying, what can I give? What can I sacrifice? Even my life if I have to for the sheep. It's just hired. He could care less. He doesn't take ownership of the sheep. He doesn't care. He's not connected. There's no connection. And if he sees the wolf coming, he's going to leave him. The savage wolf is coming, and he's the first one out the door. Because he's only there to get, never to sacrifice and to give. And he flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters them. Underline that the job of the wolf is to scatter the sheep. He doesn't necessarily want to kill you. He just wants to scatter you. He wants to come into church and scatter us. What we talk about, the discord, right? To cause deception and discord in the house where I won't even talk to you and I won't even talk to you. He just wants to scatter them. The hireling could care less that the wolf is coming to scatter the sheep. He leaves, he could care less. And some of us, I don't know if most of us have been part of a church split before, because a hireling was in there and could care less about the sheep and was only about what he could get, not a sacrifice and what he can give to the sheep. No ownership with the sheep. And it's ugly. And you have people who've never recovered. I run into people now that were from our ministry from 30 years ago. Where you? I don't go nowhere. I'm a spiritual vagabond. I don't know where to go because a hireling came in and allowed someone to scatter the sheep. Or a hireling came in from inside and scattered the sheep from inside. You got to be careful. Right here, Sister Kathy says, he doesn't care about your eternal destination. He doesn't even look back. Not only does he leave you, he's the fastest one running. He'll split the church. He'll split your family. He'll split your marriage. The savage wolf wants to scatter the flock. And it's never about the sheep. It's always about them. Dominique, take us to Proverbs 6 and 16. I believe it's 6 and 16. We got to educate the world on God, the nature, the character of God. Love is love. God is love. Yeah, true. But you better understand we serve a God that hates as well. And he tells us in Proverbs 6 and 19, look at the hireling, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates that. God hates it. The other six things, the proud look, because he starts with the proud look, because the pride comes from Satan. God hates it. I remember when I was sharing this with the youth one Sunday, and one of the youth asked me, Pastor, what's the difference between a lying tongue and a false witness? Aren't they both liars? Yeah, the lying tongue is always lying, but the false witness is saying, yeah, I saw Sister Kathy do it, and Sister Kathy was nowhere around, because he's a hireling and he just wants to split everything. I saw him do it. Were you sure? You sure it was him? Yeah. That's a false witness, and God hates it. Say, Pastor, let's go a little bit deeper. All right? Let's go to, Dominique, take us to 1 Kings 3. Let me show you an example of the mindset and the heart set of a hireling. Can I do that for you?
Yes.
Let's see the time. Okay. Yeah, then we'll wrap this up until next week. Let me show you the mindset and the heart set. This demonstrates the wisdom of Solomon, but it also shows the mindset and the heart set of a hireling. They don't care. They don't, Sister Tar. I don't know if I have time to read it all. Let me see. Okay, let me. Yeah, 3:16. First, and we'll go over this another time, and I'll unpack it. But I just want you to see how a hireling thinks. First Kings 3:16. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
That's a lot of reading, so I think I have time. So let me try. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him, and the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day that after I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no one else in the house except for us two. You with me? Two women in a house, man, a broth or whatever, they both have kids. Amen? Verse 19, and this woman's child died in the night because she laid on it. She arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while I was asleep and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. Somebody say, Lord, help us. if you talk about a made for TV movie, come on, y'all. Let's go. This has got more drama than CSI and all this other kind of stuff. Amen. Verse 21, and when I arose in the morning to give my to nurse my child, behold, it was dead. But when I considered in the morning, when I thought about it, it wasn't my son which I had. And the other woman said, no, but the living son is mine, and your dead, and that dead son is yours. And she said, no, but the dead, and she said, and they did back and forth and shared this with the king. Verse 23, then the king said, the one said that my son lived, the other says dead, and the other says no, but the son, this is my son, is living, and this, that, the other. Verse 24, and the king said, bring me a sword. They brought him a sword. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose child the living child was. She said unto the king, because her heart and her insides yearned upon her son. And she said, no, Lord. Give it to her. If you're going to do that, give it to her and don't touch the child at all. But the other said, oh, no, you know, that's cool. I like that idea. Don't let it be mine, because see, the hireling doesn't care about you. He wants to split. He'll split your child in half because he don't care. This is the mindset and the mentality. Go ahead and kill it. And then it's nobody's. Go ahead and split the church. Go ahead and split the body of Christ. Then it's nobody's. Ineffective, useless. This is the mindset. King Solomon's way too wise and saw right through it. But the other one said, don't let it be hers or mine, but divide it. Then answered the king and said, get out of my face. No, he didn't say that. Then answered the king and said, give her the living child and in no way slay it, for she is the real mother thereof. She's the good shepherd. That's what the good shepherd said. No, I'll sacrifice for the body, for the sheep. Take my life. I lay down my life for it. And I love it so much that I'll give it so that it can be saved. Somebody say amen. The mindset of a hireling does not care. All right, let's finish this up. I got to stop it. Well, it's almost 11. Okay. Verse 13, the hireling flee because he's a hireling. Oh, and I wrote, what's flee? Where's flee? Flee. He's vanished. He escaped. This dude don't even run. He just vanished. Do a ghost. Yeah. Back in the day, you look out where the homies at. They done a ghost and you standing by yourself. Hirelings. Ain't that something? 10:13, John 10:13. The hireling, he flees because he's a hireling and he does not care for the good sheep. He does not care for the sheep. Verse 14, I love this. We're going to stop right here and we pick it up here next week. Verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Lord, that's who we serve. We serve the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I've known it's a heart-to-heart connection between us and the good shepherd. He knows them and we know him. That's where we'll pick it up next week. Let us just bow our heads just for a minute. Lord, God, give us discernment. Your word says, be not deceived, for many will come in my name. There are so many bad shepherds out there. So much false prophecy from the internet to social media, to mainstream media. It's happening in our schools. It's happening on TV. It's happening in these colleges. God, the enemy has infiltrated and they're out to steal, kill, and destroy. And folks will run to a degree as opposed to running to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They'll worship a sport, a degree, a game, money, fortune, fame, as opposed to one who's given them an extraordinary life. An abundant, an advantage. Not only when we get to paradise, but right here on earth, we get to experience life with the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the unspeakable joy, the peace that passes all understanding. So God, we just thank you and we bless you. We love you, Lord. We ask that we continue to recognize you as the good shepherd. God, don't let us get distracted by the enemy. Don't let any picture that the enemy paints attract us in 2020. Let us pray, let us fast, let us seek God. Let us operate according to 1 Corinthians 13, the love. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. Let us live this thing, God. We thank you that we can't work for it, we receive it, and then because we are saved, we live for it. Send us laborers, Lord, for the work ahead. Strengthen us for the work ahead. Let us be about your business and being ambassadors for Christ, letting the world know that it's time to be reconciled to God. We pray for revival in 2020. First in our hearts, then in our homes, and then we take it to the world. Pray for revival in 2020. First in our hearts, then in our homes, then to the church, then to the world. If it doesn't start in our heart, it's not going to start. Bless your people. We thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins, rescuing us, giving us life and that more abundantly, in extraordinary, uncommon, excellent, advantage, superior life in Christ. May we continue to walk in obedience so we can experience everything that you have for us. It's in the strong and matchless and mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we pray. Amen. Put your hands together. Stand to your feet, give somebody a hug, and you are dismissed.